Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, F.A. Hayek's The Constitution of Liberty is a major work of political philosophy and classical liberal thought, first published in 1960 and later reissued in a definitive edition. Rather than offering a simple defense of free markets, the book builds a broader case for a free society organized around individual liberty, the rule of law, limited government, and constitutional restraint. Hayek's purpose is both descriptive and normative. He explains how liberty developed historically in Western political traditions and argues that it remains the best framework for human flourishing, innovation, and social order. The book is especially concerned with the dangers of coercion, central planning, and unchecked state power. But it is equally interested in the institutional conditions that make freedom durable. This gives the work a distinctive blend of history, economics, law, and political theory, making it one of Hayek's most influential and demanding books. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, freedom as absence of coercion, not collective power or personal license. Hayek begins from a precise definition of liberty. A person is free when others do not arbitrarily coerce them. That definition is crucial because it separates liberty from ideas that are often treated as similar, such as political participation, inner autonomy, or the power to do whatever one wants. For Hayek, freedom is not simply the presence of choices. It is a condition in which individuals can act without being subject to another person's will. This matters because it grounds liberty in social relations and legal limits rather than in abstract ideals. It also clarifies why Hayek worries about both private domination and public coercion. If the state can interfere whenever it claims a social purpose, then liberty becomes fragile even in democratic systems. His definition therefore creates a standard for judging institutions. Do they leave space for independent action, or do they force people into prescribed outcomes? That question shapes the rest of the book and gives the argument its consistency. Secondly, the rule of law as the institutional safeguard of a free society. A central argument of the book is that liberty cannot survive on moral aspiration alone. It requires institutions that constrain power. Hayek treats the rule of law as the key practical mechanism that protects freedom because it subjects government to general, predictable, and impersonal rules rather than discretionary commands. Under such a system, people can plan their lives with some confidence, knowing the state will not intervene arbitrarily. This is why he values constitutional limits, judicial safeguards, and separation of powers. The rule of law also distinguishes a free order from rule by officials or majorities acting case by case. Hayek does not claim that law eliminates conflict or uncertainty, but he insists it reduces coercive unpredictability. His emphasis on general rules reflects a broader belief that liberty depends on stable frameworks more than on benevolent intentions. A government may claim to promote welfare or justice, but if it can alter rules at will, it undermines the social trust and personal independence needed for freedom. Thirdly, why spontaneous order outperforms central planning in complex societies. Hayek argues that societies are too complex for central authorities to direct effectively. One of the book's most important themes is the idea that order can emerge from decentralized decisions without a single planner knowing every relevant detail. This is not a defense of chaos. It is an argument that social coordination often works better when individuals are allowed to act on local knowledge. Markets, traditions, and voluntary exchange can generate patterns of cooperation that no authority could design in advance. The reason is epistemic, as much as political knowledge is dispersed, incomplete, and constantly changing. A central planner cannot know enough to allocate resources, anticipate discoveries, or direct millions of people effectively. Hayek uses this insight to criticize planning systems that treat society as if it were a machine. The practical implication is that freedom is not merely ethically desirable, but cognitively necessary. It allows experimentation, adaptation, and innovation to occur in ways that top-down control tends to suppress. Fourthly, the historical roots of liberty in English and American constitutionalism. Hayek does not present liberty as a timeless slogan detached from history. He traces its development through English legal traditions, Enlightenment thought, and the American constitutional experiment. This historical approach is important because it shows that freedom emerged through institutional evolution rather than through a single act of rational design. He is interested in how practices such as common law, limits on executive power, bills of rights, and constitutional separation of powers helped transform liberty from an elite privilege into a general political principle. The American case matters especially because it demonstrates how constitutional structures can resist concentrated power while still maintaining democratic legitimacy. At the same time, Hayek warns that these achievements are never permanent. Constitutional forms can be weakened by administrative expansion, legal positivism, or political impatience. By reconstructing this history, he shows that liberty is a fragile inheritance, It must be understood as a product of accumulated legal and political learning, not as a state that can be maintained automatically by elections alone. Lastly, critique of welfare state expansion, majoritarianism, and discretionary government. Hayek's later chapters are a sustained warning about modern political tendencies that, in his view, erode liberty while claiming to improve society. He is especially critical of the expansion of welfare state powers, economic controls, and redistributive policies when they rely on discretionary administration rather than general rules. His concern is not only economic inefficiency, but also political coercion, once government acquires broad authority to manage outcomes. Citizens become increasingly dependent on political discretion. He applies the same suspicion to majoritarianism, arguing that majority rule is a procedure for decision-making, not a moral justification for unlimited power. Without constitutional restraints, democratic government can become a vehicle for coercion by numbers. This chapter of the book is important because it links economic policy to constitutional theory. Hayek is not simply objecting to state activity in principle. He is warning that specific forms of intervention change the character of a political order. His argument explains why even well-intentioned programs can gradually concentrate power and weaken the habits of responsibility that liberty requires. In conclusion, The Constitution of Liberty is best suited for readers interested in political philosophy, constitutional theory, classical liberalism, and the intellectual foundations of free market societies. It is especially valuable for students, policy readers, economists, and anyone trying to understand why Hayek saw liberty as more than an economic preference. The book offers practical insight into how institutions shape freedom, how legal rules restrain coercion, and why decentralized systems often outperform central design in complex societies. It also rewards readers who want a historically grounded account of Western liberty rather than a purely abstract theory. What sets it apart from many books in the same category is its range. Hayek connects legal history, political theory, economics, and social epistemology into one framework. He is not merely arguing against government intervention in the narrow sense. He is explaining why free societies depend on limits, traditions, and dispersed knowledge. For readers willing to engage with a demanding but carefully reasoned text, it remains one of the most influential defenses of liberty in modern political thought. If you would like to support F.A.A. Hayek, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.